Arlington police say protests Monday remain generally peaceful, but say there were, quote, several agitators.
Send me another unit, please. Send me another unit.
Look what you did to my store.
This is a movement, I'm telling you. They're not going to stop.
You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth, or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness.
All right, welcome back to Into the Fray. Once again, there is a convergence of topics that are weighing heavily on me and a few precious moments to write them down and record them. So, here we go again. I'm not sure how many people have really been following world politics, particularly Middle East politics. One thing that's been bothering me about the Hamas attack and Iran's sudden upratchet is the timing. Why now? What made this the right moment to strike? One thing you have to understand is that many, if not most, of the ISIS-type groups in the Middle East are Iran's underlings. Hamas, Hezbollah, the PIJ, the Palestinian Islamic Jihad, etc., etc. They're all tied to Iran through funding and marching orders. I'm not saying Iran controls Hamas or Hezbollah the way the Pentagon runs our military. I'm saying these groups have a great deal of autonomy, but ultimately, everyone knows who the big daddy is. To understand the timing, I think it's important to understand the effect the attack had. October 7th, 2023 was such a horrific display of brutality and atrocity that Israel had to respond. Why did they have to respond? Because to not respond, to allow this kind of thing to happen sheepishly and quietly, would embolden those who perpetrated it, and those who align themselves with those who perpetrated it. And all it would do is invite more. Israel has been extremely lenient in the past several decades in an attempt to maintain peace and international relationships. This was a bridge too far. So what effect did the attack have? Israel was pushed into a position where they have to end the threat Hamas poses to their people. That means urban combat in heavily populated places against an enemy that not only uses their own civilians as human shields, but will gun down any of them who try to escape. What has that led to? The corporate media is having a field day with the civilian casualties, attempting to turn international opinion against Israel, and the greater Islamic world is up in arms over what's happening in Gaza. So, what's the purpose? Why now? The timing didn't sit right with me until I realized that the Middle East is on the precipice of adopting the Abraham Accords and normalizing relations with Israel. Iran has regional power because they pose a legitimate threat to the rest of the Middle East. No kidding, the Middle East is scared of Iran. Iran is the bully that no one likes, everyone would like to see gone, but who is too big and too powerful for them to do away with. If the Middle East normalized relations with Israel, the largest standing military in the region and a good friend of the biggest kid on the block, the United States, Iran suddenly finds its intimidation power nearly eliminated. Iran would no longer be the big bad bully of the Middle East. They'd be a pathetic outcast and a pariah. That's why I think Iran is involved. Now, why was Hamas willing to risk its entire destruction? Again, the Abraham Accords. Hamas exists for the extermination of Israel. It was the express purpose written into their charter. They take little thought for their own lives, and none for their civilians, in their quest to eliminate Israel. Now, you have to understand that Hamas is the governing body in Gaza. They are the government of Gaza. They make and administer the laws. They collect the taxes. They're not effectively the government in Gaza. They are the duly elected government of Gaza. Hamas receives hundreds of millions of dollars every year from Iran, Qatar, the UN, and a number of other entities, unfortunately, apparently, including us, by virtue of their quest to end Israel. The leadership of Hamas lives in Qatar, not in Gaza. They live high on the hog with millions of dollars a year coming in to support their lavish lifestyle, and the remainder they send to Gaza to be used by their lieutenants to further the cause of murdering Israelis. If the Abraham Accords are successful and Middle East-Israel relations are normalized, that money and Hamas's stated purpose for its existence all goes away in a moment. In my opinion, this was an act of desperation. Iran would lose their prominence and Hamas would lose everything if the Abraham Accords go through. But since the attack, the Muslim world around the world has taken to the streets. University students have taken to the streets. The mainstream press has begun their own all-out assault on Israel. And major players in the Abraham Accords like Saudi Arabia and Iraq have been turning away from Israel and the United States and back to Iran. I'm concerned it might be working. It's too soon to say that the Accords are dead, but they've certainly been disrupted. And now the timing starts to come into focus, starts to make some sense. I'm going to take this moment to remind everyone that the weakness of the United States, projected by Joseph Robinette Biden, is largely responsible for these death cults having the confidence to do what they're doing. Trump's administration got the Abraham Accords rolling, put everyone involved in sight of the goal. Then Biden tossed the ball to the opposition and flew to his Delaware beach house. I'm not suggesting we need to be the world police and control everything everywhere. I am suggesting that when good people are strong, the world is a safer place. We need to find our way back to being both good and strong. And that's going to start in the home. Now, I'm going open season on the corporate press here. They are twisting themselves into painful and ridiculous knots trying to draw moral equivalence between Hamas's actions and Israel's response. Let's just clear the air now. There is none. None. None whatsoever. Not even a little bit. Not even if you squint your eyes, stand on one leg, point your tongue to the north. None. It's headphones time again. If you're listening to this in proximity of ears that don't need to join the conversation, this is your opportunity to make the appropriate changes. I want everyone to understand exactly what is going on here. So, here we go. Let's compare what Hamas did, and what's happening in Judea and Samaria, to what Israel is doing. Hamas sent out spies to prepare the intel they needed to maximize civilian deaths. Israel allows vetted Gazans to commute into Israel to work. It's one of 100 things Israel has been doing to try to improve the lives of the people in Gaza. There's better jobs in Israel. Some of those people were recruited by Hamas to gather intel. They knew each house in each of the communities they hit. They knew how many men lived there, how many women, how many children. They knew what times of day they were home. They planned the murder of children ahead of time. They plotted, gathered intel, planned, and executed the slaughter of children deliberately. That's a very important distinction we should draw here. They wore GoPros to film their victory over these sleeping communities. They posted their videos online. The Israeli government invited about 200 journalists to view around 45 minutes of video taken from security cameras and Hamas body cams. Reports coming out of that is that there were a lot of journalists who were crying, and some were vomiting. What kind of video would make an experienced war correspondent vomit? I'm going to hit the highlights as I've seen them or heard them reported. The bodies of dead young people piled on each other as they were gunned down while trying to hide in a refreshment tent at a desert gathering. The carnage of other young people blown apart by hand grenades thrown into the bomb shelter they were hiding in. Mothers shot to death while driving as their small children screamed in panic in their car seats in the back of the car, being sprayed with glass and blood. People being burned alive in their vehicles. A dead man laying in the street. The body cam worn by a terrorist shows him gouging out the dead man's eyes with a stick. Lines of cars shot to pieces. Bodies of people strewn about who died trying to crawl away, leaving heavy blood trails in their wake. A pregnant woman killed, drug out of her car, her belly cut open, the baby removed, and beheaded. The clip that may have seen the most news coverage of all was of a small family. The Hamas terrorists broke into the home, killed the father, threw the baby in the family's oven, turned it on, and roasted it to death, all while raping mom over and over and over. Feel like vomiting yet? They planned this. They sent out spies to find these people and document them. This was calculated, entirely intentional, and they reveled in it. A recording was recovered of one of these men calling his parents excitedly during the attack, telling them he had done these things and asking for their praise. In Judea and Samaria, Palestinians are murdering Israelis. Not in the numbers we saw on October 7th, but it's happening. Judea and Samaria are part of Israel. An Israeli just driving to work in their own country has to ask themselves every day if they're going to be ambushed and murdered by their Palestinian neighbors. The side of the world that has gone dark and evil would have you draw a moral equivalence between what Hamas did and what Israel is doing. Now, make no mistake, children are being injured and killed in the bombing. Things are not going well in Gaza for the people in Gaza. There's still no moral equivalence. Israel was pushed into a position where they have to end the threat Hamas poses to their people. That means urban combat in heavily populated places against an enemy that not only uses their own civilians as human shields, but will gun down any of them who try to escape. Yes, you heard me right. Israel opened up a corridor for civilians to escape Gaza City, and Hamas sent snipers to shoot anyone who tried. They also shelled the corridor. Thankfully, it appears the IDF has neutralized that threat, and the last I heard, the corridor was open and reasonably safe. As safe as anywhere can be in a war zone. What people are seeing on the outside, because corporate media is now apparently an unabashed agent of evil, is just Israel bombing civilians. Here's some civilians, bomb them. There's some civilians, bomb them. Hamas targets civilians, even their own. Israel does not. Israel targets Hamas leadership and combat assets. They use munitions designed with the best precision current technology affords. They put their own soldiers in harm's way unnecessarily to avoid civilian casualties. There is no moral equivalence there. None. That Hamas forcibly places their own citizens in the line of fire in order to hide behind them makes Hamas the criminals, not Israel. Israel could have utterly destroyed the largest and most important set of terror tunnels already, and all the bloodthirsty monsters hiding inside them. But those tunnels are under the largest hospital in Gaza City, and Israel has chosen not to permit that level of civilian casualty. Instead, they're putting their own soldiers at greater risk. The soldiers are going to have to sort this out on the ground, when pilots could easily have sorted out most of it from the safety of altitude. Israel is providing water and power to a large part of Gaza. When's the last time you heard of a government at war providing resources to the enemy population that they know will be used by enemy fighters? It's certainly not in Israel's military interest to do these things. It would be much, much cleaner for the IDF to cut off all resources to the area until the matter's resolved, and then just help clean up whatever's left when they're done. But that's not what they're doing. They could carpet bomb Gaza and solve the problem that way, too. They don't. Why? Because Israel has a respect for life, and they maintain that respect for life even if their enemies do not. They are allowing aid into Gaza. Food and medical supplies that they know Hamas will commandeer, that they know will help Hamas, just in the hope that there will be some left over that actually makes it to the Gazan people and alleviates some of their suffering. Yesterday, an on-the-ground journalist, an actual real journalist named Chuck Holton, played a video of Palestinians gathered at the main hospital in Gaza to view footage of the Hamas attack. You know, the kind of stuff that made experienced journalists cry and vomit. The crowd was cheering and whistling, like they were watching a monster truck rally or a rock star coming out on stage. These are your Palestinian civilians that Israel is going to such lengths to try not to harm. Now I'm going to pause here for just a moment and shout out Chuck Holton. He's been reporting from Israel every day since something like October 10th, and he's doing real journalism. He's been doing 2 live streams a day where he covers the news he learned on the ground that day and does some Q&A with the live chat. He's been doing 1 live stream on his own YouTube channel called The Hot Zone with Chuck Holton, and then the other one he does on the CBN YouTube channel. That's Charlie Bravo November, CBN. His social media is chuckholton.locals.com. Now, give him some love, check him out, because he's doing really good work, and his kind of reporting is difficult to come by. It's very, very difficult to find genuine, real journalists anymore. Okay, so back to Israel. Let's compare Israel. Taking risks, trying not to harm civilians as much as possible while carrying out the necessary mission of removing Hamas. Compare that to Hamas sending out spies to collect intel on how to kill, torture, and rape as many civilians as possible, and then carrying it out in obscene fashion. There's no moral equivalence. None. What about the open-air prison, right? That's the justification everybody gives for what Hamas is doing. They're all in an open-air prison. They're victims of Israel. Gaza didn't always have a fence around it. Why was a barrier placed there? because people from Gaza kept coming over and killing Israelis on Israel's soil. It happened enough that Israel put up a border wall. Securing your borders. Now that's a novel idea. Israel didn't put up a fence and then shove all the Palestinians in there. The Palestinians kept coming over from Gaza and killing them. So they secured their border. Ever wonder why none of the Arab countries around Gaza want to take the Palestinians? If these are refugees, why do none of their Arab neighbors offer them refuge? It's because they did that once before, and it resulted in those countries suffering a serious rise in crime and terrorism. These are your Palestinian civilians. Now, consider this. All that has to happen for civilians to no longer suffer and die in Gaza City is for Hamas to allow them to leave. That's it. If the Gazan government, Hamas is the government there, if Hamas would simply allow the civilians to leave the area, there wouldn't be any more civilians getting bombed. But they want them there. They want the human shields. They want the bodies on camera. They want the international community to see dead Gazan babies. Because Hamas put them there. If Hamas gives back the hostages they took, Israel said they'd talk ceasefire. So if they want to stop the fighting, there's an easy route. There are a lot of people arguing that because there are civilians in the way, Israel should do nothing. What they're arguing is that because Hamas is hiding behind civilians, they should get a free pass. Not only would that be a horrific precedent to set that would just lead to more suffering and tragedy as it was continuously exploited, but it's also just not how this works. There is a terrible trend now, from the local level all the way up to international politics, of excusing criminals and holding victims to an unrealistic standard. If a criminal breaks into your home and attacks your family, it's because he's a criminal, and environmental factors X, Y, and Z. It gets excused away. But if you defend your family, and the criminal is injured or killed, well, you're the bad guy, and you will suffer the legal consequences of being the bad guy. This comes from an insane communist worldview that everyone is divided into two classes, oppressors and the oppressed. A criminal is put into the oppressed category, so no matter what he does, it's justified, because he is oppressed. A responsible homeowner and family man is put into the oppressor category, as all responsible people who have achieved any level of success in life are. So, whatever is done against him is justified, and he's expected to simply take it, because he's an oppressor. This scales to the international community as well. The left, who currently controls most of the narrative right now, has decided that the terrorist state of Gaza is the oppressed, and that Israel is the oppressor. This is why Gaza can perpetrate atrocities at this level and get a pass, and Israel is expected to simply take it, no matter how many times it happens. This is why Israel gets attacked. Their people suffer such atrocities, and yet they are declared the bad guys. It's an insane worldview, and I use insane in the proper context here. It's not hyperbole. It's an irrational, contradictory worldview that ignores reality. It is communism at its core. People talk about communism as a system of economics. It's not. It's an ideology created to pit neighbors against each other in a never-ending cycle of jealousy and hate. It is a non-functional worldview that is taking over the United States. Israel has to take out Hamas. There's no two ways about it. If they don't take out Hamas, their people continue to be attacked the way they were on October 7th. Hamas has already said they're planning on doing more. That has to be addressed. The fact that there are civilians in the way is unfortunate. It's been a long time since we've seen real war. It's been a long time since we've been up close and personal on war. Most of the time, we just kind of see the whitewashed version of it that they play on TV. War is ugly. People get hurt. It's not pretty. It's not happy. If you commit atrocities, like cooking babies in ovens, beheading them out of the womb, and raping women, you're definitely the bad guy. Short and simple. You do those things, you are the bad guy. Makes for a very easy distinction. There really isn't too much more that Israel could do to bend over and try to make this a better situation without just taking all the murdering and raping. There's something like 240 hostages still unaccounted for that Hamas, in theory, still has in those tunnels. Israel said, we're not going to stop till we get them. All right. Isn't that the right thing to do? Some terrorists took a bunch of hostages, you go get them back. If somebody took your neighbor, or your kid, or your brother, wouldn't you want special forces to go over there and get them back? The people working in the mainstream media, they're not stupid. They just have an agenda. They have a goal. It's just not a good one. All right. I'm going to leave it there. You can find me at www.intothefraypodcast.com and on X at @RealIntoTheFray. Till next time, be informed, stay safe, don't do anything stupid.